This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. In 1972, Mike Wong left his young family in Hong Kong to come to Greater Cincinnati and pursue his American dream. He started out working at the Dragon Inn in Cincinnati, eventually sending for his family to join him. And in 1977, he and his wife Helen opened Oriental Walk as the first Chinese restaurant in Northern Kentucky. I can say from experience as a Northern Kentucky native that Oriental Walk has long been a place to mark occasions big and small, and Mike Wong has a way of making everyone feel welcome. Joining me now to talk about how their family continues to celebrate their cultural heritage and create community through food are Mike and Helen Wong's daughters, Susanna Wong Burgess and Angela Wong Miller. Thank you both so much for being here.
Oh, thank you for having us. So excited.
Great to have you. I can't wait to have this conversation. Do you have an Oriental Walk memory you'd like to share? You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100 or email talk@wvxu.org. So I want to say, just full disclaimer, as I mentioned, I'm a Northern Kentucky native, have eaten at Oriental Walk many, many times. My mom tells a story that when my sister and I were little, we're only 11 months apart, the first time they took us to the restaurant that your dad came up and said, "Can Susanna show your daughters the kitchen?"
Oh,
so,
really? Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
So I don't remember that. You don't remember that. My mom could be hallucinating this. Who knows if it's true, but
I'm sure
it's a story,
it's true.
Yeah, that I've heard many times through my life. So deep family connection, been to the restaurant many times. And I know you've been asked to tell your family's story so many times, but I have to ask you again, what brought your dad to the United States? What really inspired him to make that trip?
So when my mom and dad were dating in Hong Kong, they were watching a lot of American movies since Hong Kong was a British colony. And I think on their one of their favorite things to do was watch American movies. And my dad loved Elvis movies. And so he was like, "Oh, my gosh, America has Elvis. Got to go check it out someday." And he had a good friend. His name was, actually, we called him Uncle Fat Boy. So in Chinese culture, being, you know, chubby or fat is considered lucky.
Yeah.
And Uncle Fat Boy and he were friends for many years. But he came back to Hong Kong for a visit and had lunch with my dad. And he was talking about all of his great adventures in America. My dad was like, "You know what? Someday if I can get a visa, will you help me find a job?" Because Uncle Fat Boy was, of course, working in a Chinese restaurant in Cincinnati, Ohio. And I don't know if he ever thought my dad would actually knock on the door one day and say, "Hey, I'm here." So, but, you know, anyway, Uncle Fat Boy did pick my dad up from the CVG and drove him directly to a Chinese restaurant.
Wow. And the rest is kind of history. But now, as I understand it, your dad was an engineer by training. Is that right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
He, you know, during the Communist Revolution, did not get a chance to finish his education, but was able to work in that field. But, you know, everything changes when you're a new immigrant. So it definitely took a new path in his career.
Sure. Well, and I've read so much about how he wanted to do every job he could do in the restaurant when he first started at Dragon Inn, just to learn the business, to interact with the customers. Did you get the sense that he ever felt like overqualified for that work just because, you know, he had this bigger education and was doing these things that maybe he was trained, you know, far overtrained to do?
No. I don't think he ever had that at all. The cool thing about Dad is he's always, you know, he's always a student and still remains so even in his 80s. But he was so excited to come to America, his new home country, and he just really never looked back. You know, he was so optimistic, still is to this day. In fact, if there's ever anything, you know, negative, he refuses to believe it. He really is such a proud American and never regretted his decision to come to the United States.
Yeah. Angela, as I understand it, you and Susanna were both really young when you moved to the United States. What, if anything, do you remember about that big change in your life?
There's so many things.
Maybe the biggest change.
Well, I just remember the food. For me, I had a difficult time adjusting to things with cheese and I've never heard of a corn dog before with a stick inside.
Yeah.
And, you know, it wasn't actually school. School was pretty easy. I mean, not, you know, learning English.
Well, Angela discovered ketchup, so that was her new favorite thing in America.
Let me tell you, it saved me. I put ketchup on everything.
Yeah. Much to my mom's dismay, I think.
That sounds like what my daughters did very early on. Ketchup on everything, much to my husband's dismay, because he's not a fan of ketchup. We have a caller on the line. Richard, thank you so much for calling. What is your question or comment?
More a comment. Mike would remember me because twofold. I worked for Eurobag for many years, and every holiday party was held at Oriental Walk. In fact, another gentleman who's since passed away used to set it up. So it was a fond memory, as Mike would come around to each and every attendee and demonstrate appreciation for the support and really get to know one another. He's very much of a relationship kind of guy.
Yep.
Further, shortly after that, I was involved in opening up a group of food warehouses, Restaurant Depot, and Mike would come. He was one of the first customers to come to the store firsthand, and on a regular basis would come shopping, only because he was very fastidious about paying attention to detail, quality of product, and it was just heartening to see that he took the time to really come and see, A, how the product that he was buying was... It was a demonstration of the quality of food that he's going to serve.
You know, he's still like that.
we just to get him out of our hair for a few minutes, we're like, hey, Dad, want to do a Restaurant Depot run for us?
He's
yeah, sure, no problem. Right. Yeah. He's still shopping there. Thank you so much, sir.
You,
we have fond memories of those Duro bag parties, too. They were
was that
great.
Mr. Briefeld, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It was, and he's since passed away. Yep.
Well, thank you, Richard. Thank you so much for calling and sharing those memories.
Right.
Your father, he's always had such, I mean, obviously, you know him a lot better than I do, but every time I've been to the restaurant, everyone's a friend. He's got such an outgoing personality, such a way of greeting people. How much of that do you think has been part of the success of the business?
Oh, that's huge. That's huge. In fact, when he was trying to get his bearings in the restaurant business, of course, he was cooking in the Chinese kitchen, but he knew very quickly that he needed to learn English because he was hanging out with a bunch of Chinese guys in the Chinese kitchen in Cincinnati. So he asked his boss, hey, do you mind if on my day off I work out front? You don't have to pay me. So he really wanted the chance to interact with Americans and talk to customers, and he wasn't afraid to do that. So I still admire him. He still doesn't have a filter, but he's so excited to meet people and wanted, and he understood that, creating that guest relationship. And he makes sure that Angela and I are always out there, you know, checking on the guests, and is so grateful that they've come, because he used to say to us, hey, you know, they've passed 100 restaurants to come to mine. Better make sure we take care of them. And now I think they pass 1,000 restaurants to come to ours.
Right. Yeah. There's a lot of truth to that. Well, I know when you all moved here as very little girls, there wasn't a large Chinese American population here, right? I believe you lived in Mason initially.
Yes.
What was that like, Susanna, growing up around here without, other Chinese American kids to play with or interact with? I mean, tell us a little bit about that experience.
As a kid, when I was plopped, Angela and I were plopped right into Cincinnati, Ohio from Hong Kong. So it was really kind of a crazy atmospheric change, because I had never seen grass, corn. We lived in a high rise in Hong Kong, and it's, of course, a very metropolitan city. So it was like city life to Mason, Ohio in 1974, and it was quite the drastic change. But, the neighborhood kids were great.
I still keep in touch with them. There's some girls who came to visit us a couple months ago, and they said, hey, we used to live next to you. You and ride bikes together on,
and
in Mason.
And we have pictures of us on bikes. I would imagine as a six-year-old, it was kind of, you feel safe because you're with your parents, and you're like, all right, here we go. We're saying bye to all of my relatives and friends, and you just don't really... even understand what's happening, but it was sunny and there was grass and there was so much corn. And I was like, wow, this stuff is really tall. Because back in 74, Mason was just a brand new subdivision that my mom happened to find this house that she liked. And I had never seen cornfields. So Angela and I were looking across the street going, wow, this stuff is crazy looking.
I do remember watching the fireworks at Kings Island at 9 p.m. every night.
Yeah, that was
a good memory.
Yeah. Well, because you were six when your family moved here. And were you were three? Is
yes,
that right?
I was three.
Wow. So those are really little bitty ages for such a big change.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it was cool. We rode bikes with the neighborhood kids, and everybody was so friendly. My mom really made a point to meet the neighbors, and they came and visited us. She taught them how to make
fried rice,
yes. And then I think the ladies taught her how to make, what was it, meatloaf? And
Baked Alaska,
yes.
That was delicious.
All
wow.
the good stuff from the 70s.
That is super 70s, that's for sure. Well, and then your dad and mom opened their first restaurant in Edgewood in 1977, I think. Why there? That was the first Chinese restaurant in Northern Kentucky. That was a bit, kind of, a, I would imagine, felt like maybe a gamble, but why?
And that's why.
Is that why?
Well, they didn't want to open the restaurant right next to the people who trained him. So if my dad worked up in Cincinnati, where was Dad? Kenwood?
Yeah, he was
Kenwood
in the
area. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just impolite to open another Chinese restaurant right next to the people who taught you what to do or how to do it.
Yeah. So I think out of respect for his bosses, you know, he went to Kentucky. He was like, all right.
There's no one down here.
So, I don't know. They did some market research, which is hilarious. So their market research was they were looking at all these different sites and they would eat at a nearby coffee shop. And, you know, they would talk to the customers and say, hey, would you guys be willing to try Chinese food? Have you ever had it? And a lot of them said, nope, never had it. And my mom was like, uh-oh. And my dad said, oh, are you guys willing to try it perhaps? And they said, yeah, sure, we'll give it a try.
That's funny. I can remember my parents' earliest experiences bringing home takeout from Oranawak when we were really little, and they would just be gobbling it down like that.
Wow.
And they'd pick up McDonald's for us. Like, oh, we'll get. And then after a couple times, we're like, why? I feel like they're having something better than we were having based on the way they're enjoying it. And that's when we caught on that the parents were, you know, giving us the short stick with McDonald's and they were eating the good stuff. So, well, we will continue our conversation in just a moment. And later in the program, we'll discuss how corporate diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts are faring 3 years after the murder of George Floyd. This is Cincinnati Edition. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We continue our conversation with Susanna Wong Burgess and Angela Wong Miller about their family's journey and how they celebrate their cultural heritage and create community through food at their Oriental Walk restaurants. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100 or emailing talk at wvxu.org. We've talked a lot about the Northern Kentucky location, which is now in Fort Mitchell. We should mention you also have a restaurant in Hyde Park, right?
Yep.
So you're on both sides of the river now. Angela, what do you feel like it took for your parents to really build such a successful business? It sounds like it was just so much work, especially at the beginning.
Yes, they definitely put in the hours. So, I mean, they taught us that work ethic too. So we are there all the time. And we really have to be present. So you can't just let other people. You have to build the relationships. You have to get to know the people. You have to make sure to check every table, always, see if it's good or not, you know, and hear the feedback.
Yeah.
Communicate.
Yeah. Do you have any idea, either of you, how many former employees have started restaurants of their own, kind of continuing that tradition that your dad did? You know, he worked in a restaurant, started one of his own. Have you all seen that happen with Oriental Walk,
too? Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so pretty much everybody that has opened restaurants has probably worked with my dad and or for us in the past. In fact, a couple of guys used to be our babysitters. They opened Grand Oriental in Blue Ash.
So we went to visit them a few months ago, and he said, Angela, you remember when I lived in your basement? And I said, you lived in our basement? He goes, yeah, when we came to America, we didn't have a place to live, and your parents took us in and
aww.
Showed us how. And we babysat you.
I know. That was the, I guess it was
thanks,
reluctant.
Kenny and Henry.
I think they were, you know, still are. I mean, like I said, they're in their 80s and they're still so healthy and working at the restaurant. And it's just part of who they are. But as I think he, I guess my parents were, you know, parents to other young immigrant people that were coming to the United States. So a lot of them were students at University of Cincinnati. So through the years, they worked for us while they were in school. And often come back to visit, or maybe have open restaurants.
One of them's our pharmacist.
So anyway,
she said, "Hey, my dad
touched a lot of people."
I
said, "Oh,
over so many years,
In fact, a lot of them come and work for us now. They're sending their kids. You know, they were teenagers when they worked for my dad, but they've sent their kids in to work for at Oriental Walk and said, "Hey, don't worry, the Wongs will set you guys straight. Yeah. Make sure you work hard."
That's great. We have another caller on the line. Barb, thank you so much for calling. What is your question or comment?
I have a comment. My husband and I are frequent patrons at the Kentucky.
Thank you.
And Angela,
hi.
You gave Peter and I the best 50th anniversary.
Hi, Mrs. Hamilton. I recognize your voice. How are you?
Thanks for calling in. Thank you. Anyone that's listening, you will be treated so well when you go to this restaurant. They care about everything. If the tables are clean, if the dishes are delivered quickly and made properly, everyone is so friendly. Go. You'll love it.
It's so easy to be friendly to you, Mrs. Hamilton. You're the sweetest. You and Mr. Hamilton are the greatest.
Thanks for celebrating
with us.
That's so amazing.
Yeah. Thank you, Barb.
You are so welcome.
You know, it's easy to be nice when the people coming in are so sweet.
Yes. But the menu is so diverse. You can find something that you like. Because of dietary restrictions, I have to have something very bland. But other people are more adventuresome, and I know they find something that they like.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Barb. That's wonderful. Really appreciate your calling.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Hamilton.
Welcome.
See you soon.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm counting on it.
I'll be there.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You know, you just heard that wonderful endorsement from a customer. There have been times, I hate to turn that into something unpleasant, but you and your employees experienced some really difficult times in 2021 with some of the hate that was coming out of COVID and some of the nasty. I know you put something on Facebook talking about how, you know, you had property that was egged, employees were being threatened. How did you react to that after you'd been members of the community for so long and leaders in the community for so long? I mean, what can you talk to us a little bit about that?
It was definitely unexpected.
Well, that was Susanna's house that got egged and my car that got egged.
Well, anyway, I think that's one of the things my dad refused to believe. But, you know, we were starting to get a lot of verbal threats on the phone, and there was just so much mystery, and I think people were angry. And, you know, they took it out on their local Chinese restaurant, which, you know, we sent the message saying thank you for the support, meaning even through all of this, you know, people... First of all, people couldn't believe it either, like our community. So it was an overwhelming sense of support. And we wanted to send a message out to say thank you and that we're your neighbors. So it's not, I could see where it would get misconstrued or there's a lot of misleading messages about, you know,
well,
China
we couldn't really believe
like
it either, actually. We would answer the phone and people would say these crazy things and, I don't think we were prepared for that. Well, we definitely weren't. And,
but you know, it was
a great learning experience.
Yes,
that's
it was
for
a great learning
eye opening.
A lot of our older staff, though, you know, walk to work. They're like still walking, and we were a little nervous. A lot of our teenage staff were picking up the phones, and they were a lot of very mean messages on the phone.
You know, but to be fair, the Fort Mitchell community really rallied behind us. And that year, the mayor, Drew Heman,
had us in the 4th of July parade
as the Grand Master.
Your family was named Grand Marshal of the Fort Mitchell. Yeah, July 4th parade. And that parade is a big deal in Fort Mitchell.
Well, I
mean, that community loves that parade. What did that feel like to be to get that recognition and that kind of, you know, community hug after going through this difficult time?
Well, at first we were a little nervous because there's a lot of people and you're exposed. And after the
there's a lot of shooting threats, believe it or not. It was
oh my
crazy.
God.
So
we were
that's when it was like, okay, next level.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it was such an honor for my dad, and he's still just, yeah, he has pictures of himself as the grandmaster. He was so excited to be
sitting in
waving the flag.
Yeah, sitting in a car.
In a convertible, probably.
Exactly, yeah. With my 9-year-old son next to him.
Yeah, he had a great time. He had a great time.
Well, and your dad loves 4th of July, doesn't he? I understand that that's a holiday that he has enjoyed celebrating.
Yes, he refuses to open.
Yes.
He must celebrate.
Yeah.
Party.
He has a little... a traditional American cookout, you know, so it's one of his favorite holidays.
Yeah, that's wonderful. What, you know, we're having this conversation. You all have been, as I said, you know, in the community, doing business in the community for so long. We're having this conversation during AAPI Heritage Month at the very end of it. What does that month mean to you all? How has that become more important or become important because of everything you experienced in 2021? Do you think people are recognizing the significance of AAPI Heritage Month a little more?
Yes, I think...
It's relevant now to this time and age.
It's a great indication of how much the community has grown, that there is even an Asian Heritage Month, you know? So that's really... so cool. And there's so many young people that are putting on great events featuring Asian culture, Asian restaurants, Asian food. So, you know, like Asian Food Fest by Asian Natty. And then there's the Chinese Chamber. So there's a lot of cool things happening in the Asian community.
It was just a great event to bring my kids to. I took my kids to the Asian Food Fest downtown and we looked around and thought, wow, a lot of these kids look like you. So...
and yeah, there's never been a Chinatown in Cincinnati. So it's really, you know, it's a tiny snippet of maybe what's to come. And there's a big movement happening now called Save Chinatown, Save Chinese Restaurants, because a lot of them are going away. Mm. And it's really important. It's started by a lady named Grace Young. And we went to New York, actually, just a couple months ago to meet her and the authors of some really cool Chinese cookbook called The Walks of Life. And we met their family, and they talked about the movement that they're starting nationwide called Save the Chinese Restaurants, because a lot of the first-generation immigrants, like my parents, they raised their children here to get the best education, and they're changing professions. You know, most of them do not go into the food business. Yeah. So it's
just a struggle. It was really amazing to listen to these girls write this book, and they're young.
And they're chronicling the Chinese restaurant recipes that we still use.
Oh.
So if you want a great Chinese cookbook, go check it out, Walks of Life.
There you go. We do have another caller on the line. Joseph, thanks so much for calling. Did you have a question or comment?
I have more of a comment than anything else. I grew up going to the Oriental Walk there in Fort Mitchell.
No, thank you.
Actually went to
thank
it before
you.
It was the Oriental Walk when it was the Excelsior.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
And I think my dad met Mike at a block party or something. And it's the only Chinese restaurant he will go to.
There's a lot of them. But thank you for your support.
Part of that is because my dad is allergic to sesame anything. And Mike was always so careful to make sure that there wasn't anything sesame near him. And then when he... retired, they let us have a retirement party up in the upper private dining room, and he did everything that he could to make it a really special time. So I don't get a chance to get out there very often, but when I do, it's always
thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Joseph. I appreciate
your
calling.
We really try to take care of the food allergy people now, even because, you know, gluten and everything.
Well, thank you so much. We appreciate that, Joseph.
No problem. Hopefully I'll be there soon.
Yes, can't wait.
I've seen your dad quoted as saying the tree he planted is now bearing fruit for you, for your husbands, for your children. Do you think your parents ever expected to have this kind of success and to have another generation involved in this business? You know, Susanna, No. You were just saying that you all got your educations. I'm guessing they were expecting you all to do other things, or that you think they're surprised that you're carrying on the business?
Yes, I think. Well, Dad,
we're surprised.
Yeah, until we find a real job. Yeah, we didn't expect it either, and he discouraged us from going into the restaurant business because it's a hard business. It's difficult now more than ever, and
there's no working from home, no remote,
But anyway, it's. I'm so glad we did. You know, it's really something special to help your family, and even when I was really exploring other jobs, you know, I was always helping Dad, and it's the Asian proud parent thing. You know, it's very low key, but you know, we have
my favorite is when I look out into the dining room and I see Susanna's kids, they're working, and my kids are now a little bit older at 10 and 13. You know, they'll hang up coats and
it's something,
greet people
yeah,
at the door
it's
and bring carry
cool out. Have all hands on deck. You know, we're a small business, but it's means so much to us. And there are a lot of restaurants to go to. So, and we're not perfect by any means, but we do try our best. And it means so much to us to help your family. But yeah, it's I forgot the original question, Lucy. Oh my gosh.
No.
But anyway.
It's pretty exciting. You know, I'm not sure if we're ready for our children to take over this, but
it might be unstoppable, just like you are with your parents.
This new generation.
All they have to do is tell you not to do it.
Yeah.
So then you're like, oh yeah, really?
That's right. That's right.
But they always, that was my point, was Dad was always saying, oh, my daughter, very smart. She can help your company. And, you know, he would say that to other executives. And I thought, well, you know, maybe I should be helping you, Dad.
Yeah. Well, this has been such a treat. I've been talking with Susanna Wong Burgess and Angela Wong Miller. Thank you both so much for your time today.
Oh, thank you.
An absolute pleasure.
That was
thank
so
you.
Fun.
Up next, we'll discuss how corporate diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts are faring 3 years after the murder of George Floyd. This is Cincinnati Edition.